Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game.
Oh, yeah.
Online now.
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Along with Russell Smith on this great, and I hope you're having a great Saturday. First day of college football, officially. First college football weekend. First real day of college football. I don't count Thursday, though you dipped a toe in. Friday, obviously, there was some fun stuff on, but that's for the high schools. Today, it got going in earnest, and it was crazy, and it was a lot of fun. And wow. Tennessee today, escaping 59-30 down in Nashville as they played today. Dotson Stadium, and it was quite an import. Today's game was quite the import. Russell, I don't even know where to begin because I'm not even sure what happened today down in Nashville. That game was, let's see, it kicked off at 4 o'clock our time. It ends at 9:10, which makes it a 5-hour, 10-minute excursion because it kicked off right on the dot. That was a long day for our fans, our kids, our team, everybody involved.
Yeah, it's 9:12 right now. It feels like it's about 11:30 at night.
It really does. It
feels like it's almost midnight.
I am rushed. It really does.
How long have we got here? Are we going to midnight?
We're going 3 solid hours.
Wow.
We're going to take calls all night long. 865-200-5402 is our number. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and also Dalton Behring and Hydraulics for coming back with us for another season. If you want to get on with us tonight, no matter where you be, the number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. The way the format works is, this is extremely grassroots. This is fan reaction. This is what we do. As soon as the game ends, we're talking about it. And then we're watching some of the other college football games that are going on. And tonight, that particularly means Alabama, who just scored a moment ago to take a lead with 6:39 to play in the first half. They're on top of Wisconsin now, pending an extra point, about to take a 14-7 lead. All lines are currently jammed. If you want to get in with us, those are the numbers. The day, as it would all day long, one of the themes was on the first drive for Bowling Green State. We were scouting them this week, Dubsy at TonyBasilio.com, and talking about them on my show. One of the things we saw in watching film the other night is they have some real good skill people. Russell, they're loaded at wide receiver. Bowling Green has a nice receiving core.
Okay.
Not buying it?
I don't know. I feel like I don't know that much more about Tennessee now than I did last week
or
before the game.
It's the first game.
Is Bowling Green's offense that good? Is their defense that bad? I mean, on the one hand, yeah, Tennessee's offense looked really good today. There's a lot of hope there. And, yeah, the defense was terrible. That's the thing I think people are going to probably chime in on today. That's going to be the major concern heading into next week is the performance of the secondary, and particularly the nickel position and Foreman and Emmanuel Mosley. But, as you said, is it, you know, were those guys just that bad, or is Bowling Green, is that quarterback as good as Butch Jones said he is, and are those wideouts as good as you're saying they
well,
are?
I don't know. From the first series on, when Malik Foreman got scorched by one of their top receivers,
and he had
on a long pass
bullseye
play,
on his back all day long.
That was it for him. I mean, they said, okay, him, you can throw Mosley over there, we're going to throw at him. It didn't matter who was over there. Whoever was over there was getting thrown at today. And so Tennessee now has, unfortunately for them, they come out of this game with a few question marks. We'll talk about it. There's a lot of things to unpack here. A lot of kids made their debuts. Saw a lot of great stuff today. Think Tennessee's offensive line is took a step today. Again, not sure to what extent. The opponent, you have to be very careful when you try to surmise, sum up exactly what happened. Here are a couple observations, then we'll go to the phones. I thought Dobbs' pocket presence was much better. I thought he felt the pass rush today. There were a couple times where he just made special plays that you need a guy back there to make. Look, he's still not the most accurate passer in the world, but I thought he threw the ball well today. I think Wolf, before it's all said and done, is going to be a real weapon in this offense. Mm-hmm. Cause for concern. Medley on special teams. While Tennessee's return games were very good, very good. Again, we saw this in our film study. We predicted several big plays today. We predicted you'd see at least 15 plays of 20 yards or more. I've got to go look and see exactly how many of those occurred today. When you call tonight's show, one word, and then we'll go to our phones. When you call this show this evening, you will not encounter anybody picking the phone up. You'll be clicked in. You'll know that it's time to go. We are doing this tonight and doing it for you.
Call screeners are for the week.
Call screeners are for the week. We don't screen one call on this deal. Not a one. Medley Russell, we know he had a nice season last year. Not even close in those first two field goal attempts. Are you concerned? And I say it was really, I thought it was solid of them to get him that 29-yarder with 3:10 left.
Yeah, I guess so. A little confidence boost heading out. But I tell you what, man, some of those field goals, the first one in particular, I feel like I probably could have had a better effort out there in, you know, whenever that was, late first half or early third quarter. But yeah, that's definitely a concern that, I mean, like, nobody saw coming. Everybody just kind of figured, Medley, he was okay last year. He'll be better this year. So kicking is taken care of, right? Maybe not.
Secondary, obviously another concern. Evan Berry got the start. TK Jr. in the hospital earlier in the week, had that infection that wouldn't go away. Believe had his tonsils removed. Spent several days in the hospital. Didn't play until there was about 3 minutes to go in the first half, despite what Tom Hart was saying. He was in there with about 3 minutes to go in the first half. And then you had also casting a pall over the weirdness that was today, as if the weather delay wasn't enough, the TK Jr. story wasn't enough. Willie Martinez is suspended for the game. Apparently some kind of bump deal. Tennessee knew about it. And they didn't tell the team, Russell, till the last moment, according to Butch Jones. If that's the case, first of all, I don't buy that they didn't tell the team till the last moment. But let's say that's true. That doesn't make any sense.
Why announce Pig Howard's suspension but keep Willie Martinez's suspension secret? What advantage does that give you? Like you said, it doesn't add up.
Back to our phones we go. I guess from a tactical standpoint, it looked like Bowling Green State had a real issue with picking apart the second. Tennessee used six DBs off the jump. Sutton, Mosley, Foreman, Abernathy, Randolph, and Berry. And they mixed and matched and played some different combinations with some guys. And basically, at the end of the game, said, we're just going to bring pressure at these guys. And that's what we're going to do. And that's how it worked. And I'm going to start things off today. I'm going to go up to Gate City, Virginia. Or a.k.a. Parts Unknown. And bring in Barney Boy, who's going to lead things off for us. Barney Boy.
It's football time at Tennessee, Tony. Greetings, my friend.
Greetings to you, Barney Boy. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, it's football. I didn't think we was going to have football. We had a storm come through here last night, and I nicknamed it Karma. Got cable back on about 2 hours before the game, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead,
Barney Boy. We got a three-headed monster. Our offense is only going to get better.
Yep.
Can we fix our secondary so we can win the East this year?
Well, see, I think everything's relative, okay? And I'm not convinced that the secondary is as bad as it looked tonight. I think you had a quality senior quarterback that a lot of people think, were he not injured last year, has a pro arm. Now, the guy's coming off a broken hip. A broken hip, and he played the way he played tonight. That kid's a hell of an athlete. That Johnson kid. And let me tell you something. Their receiving core is very good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But, Tony, sometimes their wide receivers were so wide open that just like, where was our defensive backs? I mean, they were so wide open, and they were perfect passes. But if we can correct that problem with this offense, with Dot, and what do you think? The last time I saw two running backs at Tennessee, do you remember Chuck Webb and Reggie Cobb?
I love the Cobb Webb backfield. One of my, I was in school here. That was my, one of my favorite times.
That is my favorite. And we got one now. It's going to be, I'm predicting right now, it's going to be better. 1-2 and Dobbs, this offense is going to be special. They're going to get better. I know we're young on defense, and I'm kind of worried. What was the deal with the coach suspended? That Willie Martinez, with, you can't say it was a factor our defense looked like that because he wasn't there, could you?
Sure, you could say anything you want to say. Now, whether I'm just going to tell you, Bowling Green State's going to put a lot of points on a lot of people this year. And that kid at quarterback is good because when they sense a weakness, they exploit that weakness. So, you know what? Sometimes you got to tip your cap to your opponent. But I do agree that there were things tonight that you would worry about. But I look at what Oklahoma's doing right now. Dubsy, give me an update on Oklahoma.
I saw it was 17-3 at the half.
They've struggled tonight with Akron, offensively. Oh, they're not doing anything on
offense. I'm so fired up, Tony. I missed you. It's football time. I'm still sticking by my guns. We're going to win the East. We're going to win 10 games. You damn right.
Why not? Damn right. Why not?
Yes. And you.
Why not?
I absolutely. Get me fired up here. But we're going to win the East. We're going to get better.
Well, no, let me back up. When I say win the East, I say why not. But then I also say to you, Barney Boy, this. If it doesn't happen, I'm not disappointed because you've got so many kids.
Hey, exactly. Now, it's fun watching this.
How about my man Jennings tonight? Jennings finishes with 3 catches for 56 yards. He's the leading receiver on the team. Dobbs is out there. You mentioned Kamara before. Heard Russell looks so good.
Hey.
How about Coleman Thomas tonight?
How about that freshman at the end? He runs hard and quick.
Freshman at the end?
Yes.
I want to see these kids get acclimated and play as we go.
Hey, Tony, this team's going to get better.
Better
young.
And better.
This offense, until we get our defense up to par, we're going to be in every game. And if we don't win the East, it's just fun watching this team.
Well,
I've been so damn bored with Tennessee football.
I agree.
They're exciting.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
We're coming in the Oklahoma game, and I miss talking to your show. I'm going to keep up with you. Keep the fever going. We're back. And them uniforms look beautiful.
Oh, they were beautiful tonight. They were beautiful.
Everything matches. I tell you, it's that feeling in the air.
There is a feeling in the air. It could be that Dubsy is trying to slip some whiskey into my glass here. I don't know. We're trying to celebrate as the Vols go to 1-0 on the year. Hey, let me tell you something, Barney Boy. There were parts of that game tonight where I was starting to wonder if we were going to win tonight.
Hey, I did too. I was upset because our defense. When we went up running the ball, then all of a sudden I had this sick feeling. I said, "Oh my God, no! What's going on here?" Because we could not stop Bowling Green.
No.
I mean, like the coaches was lost, our defensive backs were lost. I said, you watch. And then the cable is on SEC Network. They switching off these other games. I didn't even think I was going to be able to watch it. I'm panicking. And finally, I got all these channels. I found it. And I was saved. And Dobbs, Kamara, and Hurd, those three going to be special. Has three guys ever won the Heisman off of one team?
Like a three, you have a three-way winner.
Yes.
Three-way Heisman Trophy winner. Why not?
Exactly. I'm telling you, Tennessee fans, this offense is going to keep us in every game. We can win every game.
Let me ask you something, Barney, and you, Dubsy. Here's one question for you, Barney, and Dubs. Okay. In light of the way the secondary played tonight, Russell, do you slow down the way you play? In other words, when you got Oklahoma next week and you got that running game, do you try and grind that game now knowing I don't want to expose my secondary? When you go on the road against Florida, does this change the way that you approach things in as much as you obviously have some holes in your back end? Or do you just throw the pressure and just let it roll?
Well, Tony, if you can establish a running game, yes.
So you slow the game down? Because tonight when we came out...
Them two running backs, absolutely.
We were playing that breakneck speed tonight, Russell, where we were snapping the ball inside 11 seconds. It was mesmerizing.
Why would you want to change that?
Running in and out?
I mean...
Well, because you saw tonight, if you get your defense out there and you get them exposed, and you get a team going downhill on you, and they're talented enough, they can overtake you.
You might just have to outscore people this year.
Well, I understand that.
Be your thing.
We might have to, but I'm just saying, if it's working for them two running backs, do it. But put that high-speed offense in there every now and then. But, yes, do it. Keep Oklahoma's offense. But we got the talent. We can do much anything that we want to do. And this is still the first game. Guys, get excited. You got a special team.
Barney Boy, on your way out here, I'm not going to hear from you. I am not going to hear from you until after the Oklahoma game. So I want to hear something out of you, because you don't call my show during the day from 11 to 1 right here on this channel, Eastern time, for whatever reason, Barney Boy. I think you need to duck out of work, and you need to pick the phone up this week, and you need to rise to the occasion. But that's another story for another day, Barney Boy.
Okay,
so
I'll do it.
No, I want you to bring it right now. I want you to give me full-throatedly, I want you to let us feel this in Vol Nation, no matter where we be. We have people listening to us tonight, Barney Boy, in Kuwait. I have somebody checking in Switzerland listening to us right now, Barney Boy. And you up there in Gate City through this powerhouse.
We're close. We're up here in Roanoke, Virginia.
Roanoke, Virginia. Up here in beautiful Vinton.
Yes, sir. Vinton. Yes, sir. Used to live up here.
You got it, brother. Hit it.
It's football time in Tennessee, baby. It's football. Tennessee fans, watch the TV. Watch the TV. Tennessee's the number one team. Get fired up. It's football time in Tennessee, guys, and it's dressed in orange. Woo! Go Vols!
865-200-5402. We have a couple of servicemen that are over there, believe it or not.
We still have guys over
I'm sorry. What are they? They're like some kind of workers.
Blackwater guys?
One of those dudes. Yeah. Let's go to the phone.
Some dude with a machine gun watching a sheik?
Probably. Back to the phones we go. Okay, here are the numbers tonight. Tennessee had 12 pass plays of 10-plus yards, 7 of plus 15, 2 of only 20. I wonder how many runs we had of 20-plus yards. I got to find that out, the big play numbers. Let's go back to the phones we go. I thought that Kamara, I thought he was excellent tonight, Dubsy. And I'll tell you what. That third team tailback, when he came in, was doing some work himself.
Yeah, John Kelly.
John Kelly did work tonight. And, you know, when you look at all the kids that played, you didn't see Dormandy as much as you wanted to because the game was still relatively close late. But Dormandy, Kelly, McKenzie, Tuttle, Jennings, Preston Williams, Kirkland, Abernathy, Hall, Jones, Blair, all played tonight.
Are you more, as a Tennessee fan, are you more encouraged after that game, or are you more alarmed?
Great question to ask the fans, and let's go back to the phones and take the temperature here as you're on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction, immediate, instantaneous reaction, commercial break free. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? It's my mom, bro.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, listen, I'm going to say something kind of funny, but I mean it, and then I'll get into some serious stuff. It was a bad night for the M's. Martinez, Medley, Mosley, Molik, and me, Tony.
And me! I'll tell you what, tonight's game, it felt like that thing was 9 hours long, did it not?
You know what, that's why I came with all the M's. I felt like I was in church, man. I had to write a sermon before I called. I had enough time to prepare my statements and everything. It felt like we was dragging through at least two ball games, man. I'm telling you, I'm wondering about that secondary too. The Martinez thing to me has me confused, Tony, because is he that much involved that they're so used to looking at him? Is he that much hands-on?
No.
I know. Yeah, with me in my job, if I'm too hands-on with some of my dealerships and what have you, they won't call the buyer. I'm doing all the work for them, and they tell me, man, you got to let go sometimes. You got to let go. Tonight, if Martinez wasn't there, I think it made a difference, Tony.
I don't think there's any doubt about it, but I don't think it made that much of a difference. There's no way it made that much of a difference.
No, not enough to get your butt burnt. And don't mean to be talking that crazy. But
well, how about this? At what point, and some people on Twitter pointed this out, even some media folks, at what point do you play zone? Do you quit putting the pressure on that corner over there? I mean, it was damn silly to allow them to throw at Mosley twice in a row, including for that touchdown. I don't know, man, if I've ever seen anything like that. Have you?
I've been in Mosley's spot before back in the day, man. And when you feel like everybody's watching you and they keep picking on you, man, that kid, I guarantee you, he felt like an inch off the ground. I hope they'd give him some love and he can bounce back from it. He did keep sticking in there, but you're right. They picked on him like a little redheaded stepchild, didn't they?
Well, now you've got decisions to make, because now you got to look at that tape and you have to say, okay, what are we going to do? Russell, what will Tennessee do? Let's say Martin, and we hope he's ready. Let's say he's not. Then what? Okay. Do you roll Sutton over there?
I think you'll see the same
more or less
game plan you saw today. I think you'll see more Todd Kelly, but
There's no way you're going to...
What else are you going to do?
There's no way you're going to do that.
Martin's got a sprained knee. He can't go. Who else do you have? Daryl Miller?
That's too many M's, man. Martin, Miller, Martinez, Medley, Mosley, me, and Molly. Good Lord.
I like you. That's good stuff, man. You need to get in here and host this show tonight.
Hey, when I was worrying about, you know, I said on Twitter midway through the third quarter, so much for seeing Dormady tonight, and somebody tweeted me back, said, can he go in at corner?
Pretty good line.
Hey, I'll get off here, man, because I want to hear some other people call, but I thought Sutton had yet again an NFL coming your way game.
He's a stud.
All they keep saying about Sutton is he's this, he's that, he's too this, he's too that. I'll tell you one thing. I'm an Eagles fan, and I hope he's sitting there when we draft, because I'd love to have him. I think he's going to be a great college quarterback. I think he'll be a very good pro as well.
Shame on y'all for cutting on Tebow. Love the show, man.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah,
Tebow?
Tebow got the axe today. Tebow got it today, Dubsy. As I want to remind you, you're part of the revolution. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction back for year number two. 865-200-5402. Tony Basilio on your radio. You can hear me from 11 to 1 Eastern right here. And also, those of you that have the app, you can also hear us on demand at your leisure whenever you would like. Spread the word on this program. Also, we'll be with you throughout basketball season as well. And Russell sits in with me during basketball season from time to time as well. And I do want to say a word about our friends at Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Hydraulic cylinders like never before, both domestic and import. Also components and anything that makes a motor run. That's what Dalton Behring and Hydraulics does every single day out of beautiful Granger County, Tennessee. Not only do they have great tomatoes there, they have incredible people. They have beautiful women. They have Trey Cabbage. They have Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Number one source, whether it's stock, standard, off-the-shelf, custom hydraulic cylinders in America. They're going to knock you out. DaltonHydraulic.com. Back to the phones we go. Dubsy, do you have any other thoughts before we go back to the phones? Because I just have a guy checking in with me in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, sitting with a bunch of LSU fans. Matt Harmon is showing them how we party here.
LSU taking on McNeese State.
That's always
right
a big
now.
One. Yeah, it's always a big one in
throw
the bayou.
Throw the records out the window when those two tangle.
It's like Temple and Penn State, man. Back to the phones we go. Let's Wisconsin is scaring Alabama.
They're going to have to kick a field goal.
Life couldn't be any finer. 3 seconds to go. and they're going to get a shot here. And Chris looks literally like my gym teacher.
He does.
Let's go.
He looks like Chris, the gym teacher from the Wonder Years.
Yes.
Was it Mr. Lippman, I believe?
Paul Christ went off the rack, and I hope my buddy Deadwood Don is listening to us, but he looks like he went down the hammers and got his clothes off the rack. Let's go to the – let's go – because that's what I do. Let's go to the phones. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. I've got the Bama-Wisconsin game on in the background.
Yes.
Sound off. It's just so classic watching Nick Saban look up at his offensive coordinator. I mean, it's classic, Tony.
He's so full of joy. I mean, Alabama has 134 passing yards, 175 total yards, and they only have 14 points to show for it. And you know Saban, hey, look, they're a 22-point favorite in this game. And at halftime, you're looking at a score that is 14-7. As you just heard Jeeker tell you, the ball goes off the goalpost. You got to get those, Wisconsin. You, sir, why do you have a mustache, first of all? Look at you, kid. Good gosh.
You should have seen, they were showing him looking up at Kiffin, and it was 3rd and 6, and Kiffin runs a little stretch run out to the right side, and they get about 2 yards on it. It was great. Hey, guys, I'll tell you what. You know what I'm really looking forward to? And at the time that we had it before, when we had the three-headed monster running back with Little Man Stewart and Aaron Hayden and Charlie Garner, we'd never had anything like that before. So we didn't know what it looked like.
Nope.
But I tell you what, I was most anxious to see Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. And we see what we got. And I'd heard a little bit about John Kelly, and I think he's going to be up there in the class with those guys. I didn't realize he's that big, Tony. He's 212 pounds.
Not only that, but man, he's got some quicks. And he hit the hole. Now, granted,
got a nice burst.
He's playing against guys tonight that are either fried or third or fourth team, but still, you had to like what you saw tonight from Kelly, and he's gotten some pretty good reviews in camp as well.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's a Detroit guy, so you know he's tough.
No doubt about it.
Would have liked to seen a little more of Dormandy, but like I said, the game didn't dictate it. I'm a little at the first of the game, our defensive line looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because our defensive backs started getting burned or what, but I was surprised with Oklahoma coming up next week that Khalil McKenzie and Shy Tuttle didn't get more action. Did Tuttle get in the game at all?
Yes, he did. In fact, he got in.
Played a lot.
He got in before McKenzie did.
Because I know McKenzie didn't get in until like the next to last drive of the game.
By the way, Butch Jones just said not having Martinez in the booth hurt today. He also said that Martinez's level 3 secondary violation occurred 16 months ago.
Over a year ago?
16 months ago. Welcome to your NCAA.
When did they level the penalty?
Tennessee has known about this for months.
And Bush Jones didn't tell the players till today?
Till, I believe the story was yesterday.
Well, that's on Bush Jones.
Yeah, I agree.
But as far as concerns, I mean, it's always the defensive backfield. And kicking. He doesn't look like the same kicker as he did last year, does he?
It's a game. But it was camp, too. You know, kickers are funny. Kickers are relief pitchers, you know?
Hey, guys, I'll tell you what. One of the funniest things I ever saw was at a sleep play today. When it's fourth down and the broadcasters are saying, oh, Tennessee, they're just lining up. Or Bowling Green, they're just lining up to try to draw them offside.
I love that.
And I didn't think there's any way they were going to go for that. And neither did Tennessee, and the guy stands there from and counts it down from 25 seconds until 5 seconds, and all of a sudden they just snap it and hand it to that running back.
It is
that one of the funniest things you've ever seen?
No, it's one of the more brilliant things I've ever seen, and here's why. Tennessee's
what?
Team completely relaxed. Everybody relaxed. I'm charting the game. I had already put down that they were punting because I thought to myself, there's no way in the world they go here. But, again, you go back to this. You're Bowling Green State. You got to fire all your bullets. And I'll tell you what. I love the way that Babers guy handled that game today. They hung in there because of him, I thought. I thought that was great, Russell,
took
that he did
that. Took some stones to pull
why,
that off.
Why not? What's you're not going to stop Tennessee anyway.
Yeah.
If you get
you know what?
Serena
if
football.
If they hadn't pulled that off.
Yeah.
That game would have been out of hand
way
before then.
Tennessee gets the ball at the 20-yard line or whatever there and scores another touchdown. I don't remember what the score was, but that could have been a game-defining blunder.
Yep.
Yeah, it could have, but I'm saying even if they punt there, I think the game gets out of hand a lot earlier.
Yeah.
But
thank you, Jake.
All right, see.
It was encouraging. I agree. In a lot of ways. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Get as many folks in as we can. And we'll continue to bring you some highlights from what is said. Eighty-minute delay. Butch Jones said we made him take their socks off and put new socks on. Kept guys loose.
It's critical.
Kept them eating.
Each and every toe must be fully unmoistened.
He said, "I think we even went and got hot dogs." He said, "We tried anything. We danced a little bit. We tried anything and everything." Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. He said, "Our support staff did a tremendous job during the delay. That can't be easy to sit there during an 80-minute delay. I mean, there's just no way. You don't train for that. There's no way around that." If you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Here on your Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction on a day where you could say Tennessee dodged a bullet. I don't know. We were looking for big plays from Tennessee, and we thought that Tennessee offensively would produce the big plays. As it turns out, the Vols had four plays. Two rushes, two passes of 20-plus yards, while Bowling Green State had 11 plays. Two rushes and then nine pass plays, Russell, of 20-plus yards. When you give up nine pass plays of 20-plus yards and get out of somewhere with a win, you count yourself blessed. Because most days you're going to get beat when you play that way defensively.
What's the old coaching adage? You make your most improvement from the first game to the next?
Let's hope that's true. Because we got to go back to the phones, because Oklahoma's in here next week, and it is going to be a red-letter day when Tennessee checkers Neyland Stadium. I hope it's not a red day, but it's a red-letter day. As we go to the phones and get our next call in, hello and welcome.
Guys, it's Smitty. How you doing?
Hey, welcome, buddy.
Hey, Tony, first off, it was a pleasure meeting Mrs. B the other day. What an honor.
Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful, brother. I'm glad you had a chance to do that. She's a great lady.
She definitely is. Moving on, today was really a terrible game. The defense was just pathetic, to be honest. I mean, you know, that quarterback looked pretty good, but like you guys are saying, you know, is he good or were we making him look good? I tend to believe that we were making him look good. I mean, he kept running the same play, tearing Emmanuel Mosley apart, on the far side of the field from where we were looking. And, you know, that's just either this team is looking ahead to next week or we're just kind of seeing why John Jancic has been, you know, kind of tossed around in the SEC and, you know, lost his job before in this conference. I don't think Willie Martinez has that big of a factor as well. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about that, but
I thought it was interesting that they didn't wait until after the 8-minute delay to actually bring some pressure on that quarterback. It was noticeable that Tennessee committed more people in the box and basically told Johnson, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to stand up and you're going to take shots.
Yeah. I'm with Smitty, though, on the Martinez factor. He's up in the booth
right
during the game. What impact, you know, Jancic makes the calls, presumably, as the defensive coordinator. What impact does Martinez really have on game day? I don't know that you can blame this on him.
I mean, janitors, you know, Big John janitors, he's got to make some, you know, he's got to make some adjustments out there. I mean, even coming out of halftime, you know, Jancic, we didn't see any adjustments. I mean, we saw the same crap that we saw in the first half. And I just can't see Willie Martinez making such a big impact at halftime or in the pregame or midgame. I don't get that. I'm totally with you, Russ. I mean, I just don't get that. That was some of the worst, you know, they were pressing the wide receivers and they were getting beat every time on this white guy. And it's kind of like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it?
Well, let me ask you, what are you going to do about it? Because here's the thing. They tried different combinations. They tried different people. What they didn't do that I would have done is I would have gone to zone and just said, okay, that's it. You are not doing that to me again. I can't believe they let them complete that drive. And that was,
well, I mean,
that offended
they let
me.
It happen a million times.
Yes.
And they kept running man and press man. And it's kind of like, and I agree with you. I think that they probably should have gone the zone and that they, you know, should have tried that. But, you know, I do remember they tried to go to zone one time and Evan Berry did a bad job of coming in to help on the zone coverage. And I don't know if that kind of scared Jancic or not, but that was just horrible. I mean, good grief. I mean, that, you know, Bowling Green should have never been in that game to begin with. Now, they obviously have some talented players and they're going to do well in the MAC, but Tennessee should never be within 1 point in the second quarter of a MAC team. I mean, that's just at this point in time. That's embarrassing. I mean, and all the guys when they're about to go to halftime were talking about it, and I was like, you know, they're all totally right. I mean, that's just, I was embarrassed. I mean, that was either bad coaching, you know, bad preparation.
Now, wait a second here. When we were looking at the film on Wednesday this week, and I had Val Kerner with me and Tony Robinson and Dr. Sinclair, we kind of looked at each other and said, hey, these guys are going to make some plays on us. Now, we didn't know they would make plays to that extent. But you gotta look at something with Bowling Green. They're picked to win their division in that league. They won last year. They have a kid that can throw it around the yard. That was a perfect formula for them to come in there and be successful. And the other thing was that because they did things quickly, it wasn't going to be a game where we were going to dominate them with our pass rush. If you notice, Barnett was relatively quiet. You saw a couple plays from Sutton in the backfield. I think Kirkland made a play early. But for the most part, you know, the TFLs weren't there like they should have been. And you could make the case that if they score on that, Russell, when they turn the ball over on the goal line with like 11 minutes left, that's a semi-football game there. If Bowling Green didn't have that one unforced error there.
Yeah, I was thinking at that point, I think it was 49-30 there, and they're going into score.
That's scary.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, it's going to take one more touchdown to really kind of seal this one up.
It was scary. They score there, man. I mean, who knows?
Well, I guess let's put it this way. Like, their offensive line has, the second most starts.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
And so we'll give them credit there for holding the defensive line. I'll give them credit there. I mean, I think that's, you know, they deserve that. And like I said, their quarterback's pretty good. But I think what I mean by the coaching aspect is, you know, just seeing the same play happen over and over again. It's kind of like watching, you know, it's kind of like playing NCAA football and you're playing, you know, you just keep pressing B and the guy keeps beating, you know, you throw the pump fake every time, you press right. B, and the guy's wide open every time. You know, it's just, that's what I didn't get, and I think we're on the same page there. But I'll leave you guys on this note. I want an over-under on Barney Boy's beers tonight. And shout out to Fake Dane Bradshaw. See you later.
Fake Dane, I'm going to set the over-under for Barney Boy. I don't know whether he's drinking or not, but I'm going to set it at about 10. 865-200-5402. I'm going to bring Dr. Sean Sinclair in here and keep the conversation going. Cinco, before we keep the conversation going, just real quick, give me like 30 seconds, if you can, of what you thought. Just give me some first thoughts here.
Well, I thought there were a lot of positives tonight. I thought I thought Trevor Daniel had a nice game. I thought obviously the return game was exceptional. I thought the offensive line played well. I don't remember them. Coleman Thomas, I think he'll be your starting center for the next 3 years. You didn't see any bad snaps that I remember. I don't remember any guys jumping off sides. For the most part, the holding was, you know, based on the wide receivers. So I thought that did. I thought obviously Kamara and Hurd are, you know, they're elite running backs, and they're going to give people fits. Other than that, I thought Bowling Green. Now here's the deal: Bowling Green today did nothing like the games we saw during film study. If you watched them last year, their whole offense was built around 5 to 8 yard passes. And then try to just use a ball-controlled passing offense to take the ball down the field. And they didn't do that today. They, you know, they're geared towards, they took away, by keeping the quarterback up in the pocket and, you know, not dropping back, they took the rushing lanes away from our ends, and that was good. We didn't get much of a push up front, so we couldn't get him to move around. And then basically they just played long ball. I mean, they just threw the ball up. Now, what I don't get is I don't get why you're pressing the receivers with no safety help back there. I mean, you could come off five yards off those receivers and give, you know, Mosley and some of these other guys a little chance.
Let me ask you, Sean, internally, how much do you put it at the feet that Martinez wasn't there for what happened
today?
None.
No effect whatsoever. I mean, maybe there's a mental thing. What I saw was I don't know exactly, but it seemed like we went up essentially 3 touchdowns, and it looked like we kind of took a little break there, and then figured out pretty quick we were in a ball game. I thought the Johnson kid, their quarterback, was fantastic, playmaker. Their receivers, well, let's just put it like this: I can't think of a better quarterback we'll play this year, and I can't think of a better group of receivers we'll play. I mean, I'm sure Alabama's will be more highly recruited, but I don't know that they'll be more productive. They got a nice little offense.
I believe it. They're going to score a lot of points at their level. Let's go back to the phones. I got Dr. Sinclair in with me, and Butch Jones has spoken, and Butch Jones was pleased. We'll go through some of his comments here in a second. He said that's the fastest that we've played tempo-wise. When they came out and they had that thing running and gunning and the 8 scoring drives in under 2 minutes, he said, I don't know if my organization has ever done that at any of our stops. They
Critical.
Were belying tonight.
Yep. I got one more thing, Tony.
Go ahead.
I don't know that I've seen a worse game from a linebacker than Colton Jumper. It was, if he's out there, I don't know what he doesn't take on blocks. He doesn't read the play well. He doesn't blow up stuff for safeties to come behind him to stop the running game. If he's out there just as a traffic cop, then so be it. But you're getting nothing from that guy.
Back to the phones we go. Well, at least you didn't tonight. Now, you got to give the guy a little grace, and let's see how it works going forward. Let's jump. Here's the thing. I'll ask you this. I'm going to ask just like I asked Russell, and we'll ask callers. Would you stick Kirkland in against Oklahoma? Is that a good spot for him?
No question.
It is.
Well, that's not a good question. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I'd put him in because you're not getting anything out of Jump. No offense. I mean, he wasn't filling hole. He wasn't filling lanes. He wasn't covering. He wasn't a middle linebacker not taking on a block. That's unheard of. You have to do that.
Butch Jones said that we're not going to blame the defensive backs for tonight. He said you got to generate a pass rush. He said, and I tip my cap to that quarterback who threw some perfect passes.
Yep.
I would say to him, though, when he goes back and looks at the film, when he sees that one sequence, especially when they ran the exact same play three times and scored a touchdown, that's going to make him sick at his stomach. Because there was not, like you said, Sean, there was nobody rolled over, there was no help, and there was the same exact cushion given, and that kid, was it Mosley in that sequence that he just ate for lunch?
Well, what the deal was is they had him up on the line, and he was trying to jam the kid.
Yeah, and he couldn't get him.
And the kid was too big. And so what he was doing was he was grabbing him by the outside shoulder, tossing him back, and then taking off.
Like,
and
he
It was just the quarterback had a great game of passing, because not many quarterbacks are going to... Well, Dobbs didn't have that. He didn't pass like that. He was throwing some pills out there.
I tip my cap to Bowling Green. I think they played a hell of a game tonight. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
How you doing?
Hey, welcome in.
No, I've got a... I got a lot, today watching the game. First of all, we had no pass rush. Barnett and Majid were invisible today.
Majid had a rough game in space, too.
Yeah.
He had a rough game all the way around.
They were invisible the whole game. I mean, we started out wanting to rush four, and that's why we ran press, because we wanted to rush four and press like old John Chavis defense, and we weren't getting any pressure. Then, I think we did a terrible job on, the touchdown that they ran, and not the deep passes. They ran three of those passes where the tight end or a guy came out and went into the flat out. Three straight plays, the same play.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I absolutely remember it. I'm sitting there watching
And the tight end scored on the last one, but there were two wide receivers that ran the same pattern.
Same exact pattern.
Before.
Same.
Exact pattern. And so I think we wanted to put our guys on an island, and we were expecting to get much more pressure. And I'll tell you, I think that quarterback is going to be the best quarterback we play all year.
He's a hell of a player. He's as good as anybody in this league. I'll tell you that
now. Even, do you remember, they were on the close to the goal line, and we had a guy untouched, and he didn't make the pass, but he got the pass off. And I'm like, there's no way. How does he even get the pass off? That guy is the best quarterback we'll play all year. That offensive line is good.
Well,
very good.
Very good. And you know what? Back to the point you're making, and Shaw made it earlier, and I think it needs to be pointed out, because it was pointed out today by Andre Ware. And Andre Ware said when he was looking at this game coming in, Bowling Green did nothing offensively like he thought they were going to do it, which means he saw what we saw. He said they saw something from Tennessee that let them know they could attack Tennessee downfield the way that they did.
But I really think that we wanted to put our guys. I mean, remember Chavis?
Yeah, but wait a second.
I really think, and we put them on, and also I feel, and I could be wrong, that we wanted to show Oklahoma something that we may not do next week.
There you go.
We continued to put those guys on an island, and I'm not necessarily sure that that's going to happen next week, but we wanted to give them the look that that's what we're going to do.
Although, and you said it best, and I tried to point this out tonight on Twitter, and I'm going to point it out right now, and I'm going to point it out during the week, I don't think Oklahoma has the quarterback play. People can laugh at this if they want. They do not have a guy that's comparable to that kid. There's no way. No, they do not have a guy. No way.
I totally agree with you. I think there's this guy is little, maybe the Arkansas quarterback is good, but this guy is a fifth-year senior. He knows what he's doing, and he played unbelievable. And their receivers were big, and we just kept playing the same defense. And I think we did it on purpose, honestly.
Well, let's hope, because if they weren't doing it on purpose, they gave up. I'm going to say this one more time because it's mind-boggling to try and digest this stat. We gave up 11 plays to Bowling Green State University of 20-plus yards and went and got a win going away. And by the way, they weren't garbage yards. They were yards while the game was going on.
No, absolutely. But also I have to say, everyone says they did the exact same thing when they came out of the break. They did not. Matt Johnson faked the handoff and kept the ball every single time after the break, where he never did before the break. and he ran his ass off the first two series, stuffing the ball into somebody's gut and then running outside or running either side. That was a very well-coached team.
I tip my cap to them. And you know what? They don't fumble the ball on the goal line, and they have a chance to be in that thing at the end. Now, you can laugh at that if you want.
But we can also say if we don't hold with two different times.
Oh, that was crazy.
We have a 56-yard TD that's called back from Jalen Hurd, and then we have the Vaughn Pearson TD that's called back because of holding.
I'm just speaking of the way defensively, for whatever reason, we just were not holding them. And we weren't even getting shutdown stops, which is really strange.
Everyone wants to blame the DBs. I'm blaming the defensive line. This defensive line is supposed to be one of the best in the nation, and they did absolutely nothing tonight.
Do you buy that, Dubsy? You with him on that?
I mean, maybe the D-line didn't live up to their hype, but to me, the secondary is a much more glaring problem moving forward than defensive line.
But if they play one-on-one, okay, if you get beat on one-on-one, okay, then you stop. But that Bowling Green offensive line gave that guy time to throw all day.
And it was shocking. And they ran, and that shocked me. They ran the ball on us as effectively as they did.
We had 50 people around the ball, no one tackled anybody.
Cinco, is that what you're talking about with our middle linebacker play?
There was no middle linebacker play.
Who else disappointed you, Cinco, defensively? Anybody else?
Not so much. I didn't think our safeties had a big day. I thought Vereen played much better than Majid. Majid kept crashing. I don't know what he was doing. On his own read, I did not understand why you didn't have someone assigned to the quarterback if you're going to crash the ball carrier every time. Because there was no one there.
He wanted to make a big play every single time instead of holding his position and playing his spot.
Right. Well, see, I disagree somewhat with the caller because the way they were set up, their tackles were allowing the speed rush, knowing full well that our defensive ends would be taken out because their pass rush arc would be behind the quarterback where he's set up. Unless they were going to go inside on him, they were going to get to a point back there where the quarterback was never going to be.
We need to have a push up.
Well, that's right. I have a bigger problem with the inside defensive line than I do the outside.
No, I'm talking about the whole defensive line, but you're right. The defensive tackle's got no push up the middle, so when we crash on the outside, they can do whatever they wanted.
Well, I think a big turning point was the personal foul on Barnett. I mean, third and 25,
third
and you give them a first down.
That was a
bonehead play.
Yeah, you do that against a team that can beat you, and you'll pay the price for that in a league game.
Yep. I thought the offensive line held up well.
No question.
And they weren't playing any All-Americans. I get that, but given the fact they've had injuries and they've shifted around, I thought they represented themselves pretty well.
I thought Coleman Thomas guys had a really nice day for himself
today.
I do too.
No, I think our offensive line was. You know what? There was so many times when we busted the run outside, we had more room than I'd seen in 5 years.
Better believe it. You bet.
I need to see that next week.
I've
never seen us run outside with that much room in 100 years.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you. I love your passion. And I love your learn it take as well. As I've got Dr. Sean Sinclair with me, I got Russell Smith, who's with 90. Give your coordinates out, Dubsy. What time they can find you?
94.3. Knox Talk
Radio.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day, Dubsy.
How about Oklahoma now up 38-3 as they begin the fourth quarter in Norman over the Zips?
Struggling. Oklahoma has struggled. Oklahoma has struggled. They had 10 points coming to near halftime tonight.
Tony, what about your boy Jimmy Frank?
What did you think of that today? Let's say one word about James Franklin doing something that no one has ever done at Penn State, at least in the modern era, at least since before World War II was a thing, and that was Cinco lose to the Temple Owls. And not only did they lose to the Temple Owls, they got blowed out by the Temple Owls.
Man, you know, there's some credence to the fact that he won. And now, look, he did some nice things at Vanderbilt,
yeah,
but he didn't leave anything for radio over there. And wrong, you know, man. You got Hackenberg and you got some other people. There's no way you lose to Temple under any circumstances.
Hackenberg got sacked 10 times today. That poor kid.
And they look slow.
Oh, they're so
bad.
That
team looks slow.
They're so bad. By the way, Alabama is in a kind of a dogfight here with Wisconsin. This is a little bit surprising, fellas. This is surprising to me. Alabama was supposed to blow this team out. Alabama offensively is not going to be able to pull away from anybody this year, I don't believe.
They have no quarterback.
No quarterback play. And that's a tough spot to be. Look at how badly underthrown that ball was right there, Russell. Describe what we just saw, Russell.
He had a Alabama quarterback. They ran that play that Kiffin always ran here, the bootleg with Crompton and the bomb.
Wide open.
Guy was wide open. He underthrew him by about 10 yards, hit the DB who was beaten in the back
square
of the
square in the back, and the DB was beaten by a good 15 yards. Kiffin's over there. Kiffin hasn't looked that sick since that 19-year-old Tuesday night turned him down. Smart way, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this, 8416 Kingston Pike near Bearden High School. Everything for your home where you're going to pay your way as Alabama, the big boy, takes it in for a touchdown. You think Derrick Henry, Dubsy, can run with the pill when you give it to him? Wow.
Here's another one duly finished second for.
Be smart, buy smart, roll it the smart way. Buy now, pay today, pay in full, or choose 120-day, 6 months, same as cash. Pay the cash price within the first 120 days or 6 months, or you can choose a lease-to-own or lease-purchase rent-to-own agreement where you choose your payment amount and the frequency, and you change it anytime you want without the hassle. That's why we call it Smart Way. And it's almost like Tennessee today. Like you're making line changes. You can just change on the fly, like the Vols were early on. And that is some excellent coaching when you can move that number of people in and out, as far as I'm concerned, and not have penalties for too many men on the field. Tennessee was well drilled today for week one offensively, I thought.
What were the penalty numbers today?
They were negligible.
Yeah.
They were. I'll look that up, but they were negligible.
Hey, guys, here's a question for you and for the callers. You have, I don't have any better read on Mike DeBoer than I had going into the game as a play caller.
No, because I think they kept it vanilla on purpose.
That's fair.
And so, I'll tell you this.
I think they protected Dobbs, but I think we did get a little bit of read in the fact that Tennessee was having success in the passing game. And I saw some people on Twitter a little frustrated with DeBoer early in the third quarter for not opening it up a little bit. But I think that's... That's a huge reason that Butch Jones hired him in the first place. He saw that his offense was way too finesse under Bajakie and for this league. He wanted to get more physical, and I think Tennessee under DeBoer is going to ground and pound and focus on the run a lot more.
Let me give you though one observation I had on the goal line on the first touchdown today, the run by Hurd, the 1 yard out. They had Stock still in there and lined him up and used him as a fullback and opened the hole up. Did you guys notice that? Because that was not done last year. That's a wrinkle we haven't seen. Let's go to the phones. Hello, and get our next call in, and welcome. Hello. Yes, hello and welcome. Please go ahead. Hello, who's there? Okay. I'd hate for you to hang on all that time and not get on. Hello and welcome.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great tonight. You can call me Tony. Go right ahead.
Okay, Tony. Well, this is old Jerry Harris down here.
Hey, Jerry.
Lee County.
Where are you calling from, Jerry?
I'm Lee County, Virginia.
Love Lee County, brother. That's God's country.
That's what I was listening earlier, and I was thinking about the over-under on beers.
You got it, brother. What are they in your house tonight? What's the over-under in beers?
76, and it's over. I'll tell you that much.
36, wow.
36 beers today?
76. There's a group of us here. We've been
76 beers. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. The way we played defense today, we could have probably put one of you guys a corner.
That's all I'm going to comment on. Like I said, I know you've been touching on DBs this whole time. I understand completely. But like you said, I mean, just my only comment is, you know, I loved our offense. You know, hopefully I think we have a little thunder and lightning going on, too. Hopefully 2,000-yard rushers this season. But I think, you know, our DBs, it's almost like you said, Hill, every I would throw it. Deep every play. I don't know if the effort was there. I mean, it's like they just, I don't know. I mean, it's like the DBs didn't want to play, just gave up. Like you said, I know they're up bumping running. I understand that. But, I mean, you got to tell me that at least You don't have to run with them step to step. I mean, at least if you hit pocket, it makes it hard for